Good evening. I'm Ken Bastida.
And I'm Elizabeth Cook. We start on storm watch. Don't let those calm-looking skies fool you right now. You only have about 24 hours left to prepare for the atmospheric river rolling our way.
Now, most of the Bay Area likely to see inches of rain on Sunday, with much more and snow in the higher elevations. Flash flood watches have already been issued for the last year's burn scar areas. Storm will also come with some strong winds and large ocean swells. Our chief meteorologist Paul Hagan begins our coverage.
Yeah, Paul, you've been talking about this on CBSN Bay Area. This atmospheric river rates a level 5 out of 5. What does that mean?
The top of the scale, it means there's going to be a tremendous amount of water being transported through the atmosphere over our heads. Let's zoom in and take a look. And it's really centered right on the Bay Area. This red shaded area, that's where we're going to be at that extreme to exceptional level on the atmospheric river scale. I did talk about this in our Weather Extra segment on CBSN Bay Area. A typical atmospheric river transports the amount of water that flows through the mouth of the Mississippi River. These extreme to exceptional events transport 10 times that amount. So there's going to be a lot of water in the atmosphere overhead, and a lot of it's going to get squeezed out over the Bay Area. So we have flash flood watches for most of the North Bay and then down the peninsula and into the Santa Cruz Mountains. We're mainly focused on the burn scars because of the potential for debris flows, rock slides, mudslides as well. But everywhere, we're going to be prone to some localized flooding. If you live in a flood-prone location, you're going to have to watch that very carefully on Sunday and Sunday night. And we have a wind advisory that goes into effect on Sunday. It is going to be breezy. Those winds picking up, gusts widespread, 45 miles an hour, potentially even stronger than that. We'll take an hour-by-hour look at Futurecast to track the rain, and we'll also look at those hour-by-hour wind gusts for Sunday coming up in the full forecast. It is going to be a long day once the rain starts falling heavily, which is going to happen for the North Bay already by Sunday morning.
Yeah, you're
going
to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Paul, thank you. Well, PG&E is putting up the best defense it can against the storm's punch, cutting limbs away from power lines across the region.
It's pretty much all hands on deck right now. We have 350 crews right now standing by, ready to roll in these different areas as the winds and the weather, rain moves through the area.
Now, across the North Bay, where the storm will hit the hardest, the main concerns change with the terrain.
But if it does land over one of the burn scars, it is likely that we could see whether it's mud or some sort of debris flow. At whether it's a small scale or a large scale, obviously we don't know at this point in time.
The main impacts we're going to have right now are our trees. We still have a lot of foliage on them. They're going to soak up some of that water, be a lot heavier. And then if we get any wind with that, we'll have a lot of trees down across the roads and power lines and that kind of stuff.
In the Santa Cruz Mountains, weather likely played a role in taking down the tree that fell on this truck, killing the driver. It happened just east of Highway 9 in Felton.
Meanwhile, Chopper 5 flew past Levi's Stadium today, where the Niners are set to host what is sure to be a muddy, slippery Sunday night game. The team says the facility will be ready for anything, but it's recommending that fans arrive extra early and dress appropriately. Well, we'll have you covered through the weekend, no matter what, on air and online, and still ahead. The one thing you might not think to check, but you should ahead of the storm.
Let's take a live look at San Jose, where a police department employee linked to social media posts advocating for killing officers is free on bail tonight. 40-year-old community service officer Dennis Svenchenko briefly served as a sworn police officer. He was arrested last week on weapons charges. But the gun crimes only came to light after the FBI linked him to the comments he allegedly made on an alt-right website back in May.
This incident is unfortunate, and I am extremely disappointed that an employee in our organization may have harbored and spread these hateful messages. I strongly condemn extremist ideologies and hate, which have no place in this community and will not be tolerated at this department.
The chief said the officers recovered 9 firearms at Shevchenko's home, including an illegally modified AR-15 style rifle. They also seized his electronics to see what else he may have said online.
New details tonight on a shooting involving a retired Oakland police captain. Ursi Joyner is recovering at a hospital after a gunfight with 3 robbery suspects happened yesterday. Oakland's police chief walked out of Highland Hospital just a couple of hours ago after visiting with Joyner. Chief says it appears to have been a random robbery. Joyner shot and killed one of the suspects, but then he himself got shot 6 times.
He's in good spirits, just really happy to see him and have a chance to be able to say we appreciate everything he's done and we look forward to his continued recovery.
Now, police are now looking for the 2 suspects who drove off in a Nissan sedan.
Some riveting testimony today from a Pfizer scientist in the Elizabeth Holmes fraud trial in San Jose. KPIX5's Lem Ramirez was in court.
Well, throughout this trial, it appears that Pfizer was the one company that did not fully buy into the Elizabeth Holmes Theranos mystique. In fact, Pfizer did a lot of research and asked a lot of tough questions and did not like the answers it was getting back. Shane Weber was a scientist with pharmaceutical giant Pfizer in 2008 when the company was in talks with Elizabeth Holmes about a possible major investment with Theranos. Weber testified that he carefully examined the company as part of Pfizer's due diligence.
They checked out the technology. They analyzed it and they also asked questions of Theranos and they weren't able to get any direct answers.
In fact, Weber testified that Holmes and other Theranos executives were deflective, evasive, and not believable, so he recommended that Pfizer hold off on the deal. But apparently Holmes did not take no for an answer. Prosecutors showed the jury documents Holmes later used to make a deal with Walgreens that used the Pfizer logo and said Pfizer had endorsed the Theranos technology.
It's significant because it goes to fraud.
Another witness whose company did invest in Theranos and lost $5 million testified that he secretly taped an investor meeting led by Holmes, and the tape was played in court. John Tolbert said Holmes led investors to believe that Theranos devices were already being deployed by the military in Afghanistan, which was false. Tolbert said he had a soft spot for that pitch because his brother was deployed there as a Marine. Also today, the judge had to release another juror from duty for what the judge called good cause. It's the 3rd time a juror had to be let go, and there are now only 2 alternates left. In San Jose, Len Ramirez, KPIX5.
Some newly released court records show an assistant director didn't realize that a prop gun was loaded with live rounds when he handed it to actor Alec Baldwin on a New Mexico film set and told him it was safe to use. And moments later, cinematographer Rayla Hutchins was dead. In a statement on Twitter, Baldwin said, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident." The shooting also wounded director Joel Souza, who was standing behind Hutchins. Souza is from the Bay Area. Our Max Darrow spoke with his neighbors.
The movie director is from a quiet little neighborhood in Fremont. While some of his neighbors told me they were shocked to learn that he was one of 2 people hit by this prop gun, they're grateful to hear that he's now recovering.
I was really surprised. Joe is a good neighbor.
Sam Bidkaram says he watched Souza grow up.
He always wanted to be a writer for the movies.
He was stunned when he learned about the shooting.
But I didn't believe it. I asked, my wife told me, she said on the computer that Joel is hurt. I said, where is he hurt? She said, oh, he's on TV. They were making a movie in New Mexico there with Baldwin. And something happened there with a sort of loaded gun.
An actress in Souza's film tweeted on Friday that Souza is now out of the hospital. Bidkaram says he's relieved Souza is expected to be okay.
Oh, he's a great guy there. Yeah. Oh, he's really very nice, very polite, very respectful. I've said he picked up quite a bit from his mother.
The movie set is now quiet. Production is on pause. In Fremont, Max Darrow, KPIX5.
Well, most prop guns are real firearms, but they're supposed to shoot blanks. Investigators are now trying to determine how a live round was loaded.
Taking a look at your top headlines, Walmart is recalling thousands of bottles of aromatherapy room spray that may contain a deadly bacteria. U.S. health officials traced the bacteria to the Better Homes and Gardens spray after 4 people in different states who had not traveled came down with a serious tropical disease. 2 died, including a child. The various sprays were made in India and sold at Walmart stores and online for most of last year. Pfizer announced today its vaccine is nearly 91% effective at preventing COVID-19 infections in children ages 5 to 11. President Biden says he expects approval for that group within weeks. Children will be given 2 shots, 1/3 the size of an adult dose, 3 weeks apart. The CDC has officially signed off on Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters for adults. Seniors and high-risk Americans at least 6 months out from their last Moderna shot can get another, and any adult who got a J&J shot can get a second after 2 months. The CDC also said it's okay to mix and match different vaccines. So how do you know what's best for you? Our Andrea Nakano will have answers in your to your questions tonight at 11. And Governor Newsom taking his best shot at encouraging Californians to get their flu vaccine by shooting hoops with State Health Secretary Dr. Mark Galli on TikTok. And Ken, that song is bound to get that stuck in your head, and that's probably the point. Gotta go get my flu shot.
People still need to be convinced. I don't get it. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Flooding and mudslides are a concern in the Sierra foothills with the storm coming, particularly in fire-scarred areas. The State Office of Emergency Services is calling in extra support and bringing in heavy equipment. They will have staffed trucks at the ready all weekend long.
Pre-position equipment, whether that's bulldozers or deep water rescue vehicles, and also work with our local fire partners in case swift water rescue becomes needed.
Well, here's how things look right now along Highway 50 in the Caldor Fire Zone, and a similar scene to the north along Interstate 80. Some dreary driving conditions, but nothing too dangerous. If you are still concerned about flood damage from the upcoming storm, now's the time to act. Free sandbag stations like this one in Concord are set up all over the Bay Area right now. And there's one thing you might not think to check that you probably should.
Yeah, your insurance coverage. With the real estate market booming and the price of building materials up nearly 20%, many homeowners may be underinsured. Now that it's starting to rain again, it's a good idea to double check your coverage. Homeowners insurance typically covers damage from what comes out of the sky, but damage from flooding and mudslides requires separate flood insurance.
Think of all of those things when you're building your home insurance to make sure that should disaster strike, that you're going to be okay.
Well, now at 7, it's almost that time of year again, Dungeness crab season. And this year, instead of going to the market, you may be able to buy crab directly from the boats that pull in at Fisherman's Wharf. If the Port Commission approves the plan set to be presented next week, direct crab sales from commercial boats could start November 15th in time for Thanksgiving.